This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Hello there, Editor-in-Chief buddies. I am Stephanie Flaxman, and you are listening to Editor-in-Chief, the weekly audio broadcast that delivers the art of writing updated for marketing in the digital age to help you become the Editor-in-Chief of your own digital business. Today's episode is called Why Twitter's True Value Has Nothing to Do with Your Followers. So I haven't talked that much on Editor-in-Chief about social media. But as an editor-in-chief, you need to make a lot of choices quickly, and then you need to train yourself to make the best possible decisions quickly. Now, I don't like doing anything quickly. I like taking my time so I can feel confident that a task is going to be done correctly. But in reality, you do have to make a lot of decisions quickly when you're an editor-in-chief. You don't always have the luxury of taking your time. So you have to practice getting good at making fast, accurate decisions. So that's just sort of a caveat about editor-in-chief decisions in general. So one decision that you do have to make as you're evaluating, you know, what's best for you and best for your content is how you use social media. Luckily, you don't have to make this decision quickly, but it is your job as an editor-in-chief to decide what is the best way to use social media for you. And I can't stress for you enough, because there are a lot of different ways that people use social media. And today I'm going to be talking about Twitter because that is the social media platform that I have the most experience with. And I have a lot of personal things that I've done and interactions and things like that that I can speak to. I really can't speak to any other platforms because I don't use them and have not used them extensively in the past. So we are going to focus on Twitter. That is what I'm going to be talking about when I talk about social media updates on today's episode. So people use social media in a lot of different ways to express themselves. And sometimes this has to do with promoting their brand or their content and their business. And sometimes it's just personal use. So it's hard to address all the different ways that you can use social media. But there are definitely brands that like to make jokes. There are just individual people who like to make jokes. You can make jokes and say funny things and use your wit and humor on Twitter. And that is one type of update you can send out. People like tweeting about what they eat and what they're doing. And then another sort of more, I guess, traditional business way of using Twitter is sharing links to articles and content that you like and you think your followers would enjoy and appreciate. Sometimes it's links to your own content. That is, you know, a very direct business way to use Twitter. Your business produces content, you tweet about it so that you share your content. People who follow you can read the articles, and then ultimately your goal is to have them share the tweet to other people so other people get the article. And all of them are right for the right person. I have no criticism of any of those different ways. And a combination of all of those different things, business and personal, is usually the best way to use social media for your business. Or I don't actually want to say the best way, but it is, I'd say, you know, the winning combination that most people go for. Most people think, you know what, I'm going to give a little bit of my personality, maybe 20% of my personality, my preferences, jokes, things I like, and then 80% from my business. That's just like a standard way to use Twitter. But I mean, there are other ratios that work for other people too. My big message here is that you need to find what works for you. And then there's other funny things about Twitter, because or in social media in general, because people want followers and people want people to follow them. So they look important, and that they, you know, they're, it's sort of, we call them vanity metrics, right? We don't know exactly if they're doing anything for the bottom line of our business, but it looks pretty nice to have a lot of followers, right? And so that has to do with the title of today's episode, because what I'm going to continue talking about is that Twitter has a lot of value and it has nothing to do with the number of followers you have. I got the idea for this episode actually in the middle of the night, as a lot of ideas happen. I knew I wanted to talk about vanity metrics and specifically Twitter, and just how it just doesn't matter how many followers you have at all. I know people don't always directly talk about that they want these things, but I just, you know, I had an idea just sort of stewing in me about how I wanted to address vanity metrics and followers. And so I woke up in the middle of the night and I had a title for this episode. I was so excited about it. So I got up in the middle of the night and I wrote it down. And I was going to originally call this episode Bonfire of the Vanity Metrics. I was so jazzed about this headline. I could hardly go back to sleep. I wrote out a lot of ideas that I have been talking about and that I will continue to talk about in this episode. But I was like, yeah, that is exactly what I'm talking about. It's going to be Bonfire of the Vanity Metrics, and this is going to be awesome. But then the next morning, I decided, you know, that's a really great title. I was patting myself on the back. That's a really good title. It's probably already been taken. So instead of blindly following my really brilliant idea that I was so excited about, I decided to Google the term and see if anyone else had used that for anything, and then make a decision going from there if I was going to use it or not, depending on what I found. So I actually did find a wonderful presentation on YouTube. There's also a slide share. I'm going to put the links to these things in the show notes over on editorinchief.fm, where this episode is. So you can get the links over there. So I found this wonderful presentation called The Bonfire of the Vanity Metrics by a woman named Ivory Madison. And she talked about everything that I wanted to talk about in a much better way. So I decided to not call this episode that, you know, not that there's, I guess, really would be, and lots of people title things the same. Last week's episode, or a couple, was it last week? A recent episode was called How to Use a Semicolon. There are a lot of articles on the internet called How to Use a Semicolon, and probably podcasts too. But this was a really special one, and I had to evaluate and decide, you know what, I'm not going to call this Bonfire of the Vanity Metrics, because Ivory Madison did it better, and I just don't need to do that. Sometimes you find something and there's a similar name, but it really doesn't, it's not similar to what you're doing, so you can use it as long as there are no copyright, trademark, you know, things that are there too that would deter you from doing that, as long as those things aren't in place. Sometimes, you know, there are lots of things with the same names, but I just decided to talk about Ivory Madison's presentation in this episode instead of use her title also. So I love it. She presents all these things about vanity metrics. Three things that I really liked I will talk about now. The first one, she talks about success theater, and that it's not about looking like you know what you're doing or where your business is going, but actually heading into a profitable, scalable growth, you know, for your business. So that was, I love the term success theater, looking like you know, you've got it all together and your business is doing great when you really don't know. A lot of that comes from vanity metrics. You could have 500,000 followers. It could mean nothing if your business is not profitable. Those 500,000 followers could be serial killers. They could be horrible people. Half of them could be bots that aren't even real people at all. You don't know who all those followers are, And if your business isn't profitable, they obviously aren't helping your business. So be careful when thinking about wanting to grow the number of people that follow you, because it does not always relate to your business. Another thing that she talks about is a good way to use metrics with Twitter. So what she gave an example about, if she's giving a discount on an ebook, and she tweets a link to this discount code, you know, they're tracking the link of if it converts from Twitter. That is an excellent way to use Twitter metrics, because you're sending something out to the people, we're assuming they're people, to the people who follow you on Twitter, to anyone who comes across your Twitter page, with a link that you want to track, and then you can find out if you actually get conversions, if people actually purchase that ebook with the discount code that you've tweeted. That's a great way to use Twitter, right? But it doesn't have anything to do with how many people follow you. So that was a cool example. These are just two little other soundbite things. I would recommend watching her presentation, looking at the slideshare. But she talks about how customer behavior should create more customers, and that if an experiment goes well, you should be able to know how to duplicate it. That the action you took isn't just an accident, but it's a jumping off point, so you know what to do next. These are real valuable things you can that you want to look for in your business, and not just, you know, these vanity things that superficially look like you're doing well. So that is a little background on this episode. And it's interesting when you have ideas like that. An editor-in-chief thing to do is to fact-check and to look up and to make sure that you're not stepping on anyone's toes, copyright, trademark. If I would have blindly followed my idea and just not looked up what else was under the title, Bonfire of the Vanity Metrics, I feel like that I would not have been just as thorough. It's a little more amateurish if you don't look it up, because you're just blindly following an idea. So an editor-in-chief lesson is to do research, fact check, look at what else is out there before you follow an idea. Because I was able to learn a lot from Ivory Madison by looking it up instead of just following it. Like, I came up with this really clever title on my own. I mean, I did, but she thought of it and pursued it first and did a much better job than I could do with it. So I'm much happier relaying her information to you as an informative thing than just trying to go off on my own. Because again, she has said it way better than I could have said it. So please check that out. Go over to editorinchief.fm and look up the links over there. So I really look at Twitter as a way to connect with people, because you can interact with people, again, without following them. You can just at mention them and write them a note and, you know, see what happens. Just real interaction, communication. It's very valuable to have that outlook. It's not like someone's going to always respond to you if you don't know them. A big no-no, I feel, is ever asking anyone for anything in a tweet, in an email, on any social media, if you don't know them first. A lot of friends, you know, can talk and be back and go back and forth, and coworkers, you know, do that for fun. But if you've never had any interaction with anyone before, don't ask them for something in your first message on Twitter or in a unsolicited email. That is not the best way to build a relationship. You may never want to ask someone that you've only talked to on the internet for anything. You really have to gauge each situation and see what's right for you. But, you know, I talk to a lot of people who listen to Editor-in-Chief on Twitter. People write me and say things about the show, and it's great. And I love hearing it, and I'm so thankful for it. People, I talked to Jim recently. He told me he went over to iTunes and left a rating for Editor-in-Chief. That was so nice. Hi, Jim, if you're listening. So that was cool. He just wrote me on Twitter and I wrote him back. And it's not like I'm concerned of if he follows me or if I follow him. That's completely beside the point. The point is we got to interact. He is a listener and I'm really happy to hear from him. I also, you know, in the past few months, I talked to Hannah, Kevin, Ray, Daniel. Those are some people who have written me on Twitter about Editor-in-Chief. And I, you know, wrote them back, just little notes responding to what they said. And that is such a cool thing. I'm mostly down on social media because I don't use it, but Twitter is just, wow. Can you imagine? I personally don't want to get a bunch of emails, from people, that I don't know. That's just how I am. But on Twitter, it's just a quick little message and it's really nice to hear from people. And with anyone that you want to get in contact with, you need to find out their preferred method of communication. And if you find out that someone does not want to get unsolicited emails for whatever reason, even if it's just a compliment, it's good to know that, because then you can tailor your correspondence with that person to an outlet that they do like. So I welcome people to talk to me on Twitter. And here is a little thing of how I've adapted my own Twitter use to give you an idea, a more specific example of what I talk about when I say deciding what is best for you. So everything that I've mentioned about how people use Twitter in the past, everything I mentioned earlier about the different ways people can use Twitter, I have done in the past. I've used it for humor and to tweet out links and to talk about what I'm doing and observations and things like that. And I'm always evaluating what I'm doing and if it is the best choice for me. This is an editor-in-chief attitude to follow. As you're making choices and performing actions, continually evaluate, is this the right thing for me? Should I really be doing this? So you don't have to drive yourself crazy with it, but it's just good to keep that awareness. So I've sort of struggled with how I want to use Twitter. And so recently I went back to something that I used to do before, and I like treating my Twitter timeline as one big piece of content that I'm writing. So I'm currently, I only tweet one word at a time, and it's writing a story backwards. So when you look at my timeline, it reads going forward, because at a Twitter timeline, it goes backwards chronologically. So the most recent word in the story is at the top, and then the rest of the story follows it. So that is the most authentic way for me to use Twitter. I don't tweet out links to articles anymore. If I have some funny random observation, keep it to myself on Twitter. I just, I like writing stories and I like tweeting them backwards. So if you don't want to follow that, you don't have to follow that. I just came to the conclusion that I don't need to tweet the way other people tweet, like for any reason. There's no reason why I need to be tweeting articles because other people in content marketing tweet articles. If you come across my Twitter profile and you don't like what is there, you don't have to follow me. I don't need to adapt how I use Twitter just so other people might want to follow me more, because that's not really my goal. So you can, you know, just keep this in mind for what is right for you. You don't have to do anything like other people do it to succeed in any way. And my Twitter timeline is not a content marketing example for the best thing to do, but it is an example of making the choices that are best for you. And the fun thing about my Twitter timeline, it's this organic evolving story, because interspersed with the story that I'm writing one tweet at a time, I have interactions with people. You can see who I talk to. So it's I plan out part of the story, but then the story, there's parts that I can't plan, which is just a big metaphor for creativity and life in general of it evolves as you go. The other day, fairly recently, I got to talk to Brian Gardner of No Sidebar, the podcast, and many other things over here at Rainmaker Digital Studio Press. So we had this fun little interaction back and forth. And it, you know, I have these little communications punctuated throughout the bigger story that I'm telling. And another thing about, you know, my backward storytelling is that I consider each tweet, each one-word tweet, a standalone piece that someone can interpret as however they want based on their own outlook, what's happening that day. And then if you look at my Twitter timeline in full, because you go to my profile, you see how each of those words are little puzzle pieces that contribute to this bigger story that is unfolding. So that, yeah, that is a very specific example of adapting Twitter and social media to what is best for you. I'm not saying do what I do at all, but I found that I enjoy using it when it's something that is more true to how I want to use it and not just following what other people in the content marketing industry do with their Twitter accounts. So what should I tell you to do next with today's episode? Should I tell you to follow me on Twitter? Follow me on Twitter. No, don't follow me on Twitter. I don't care if you follow me on Twitter. Do whatever you want. Do what is best for you. Always. That is what I want to conclude today's episode with. I am Stephanie Flaxman. Thank you for listening to Editor-in-Chief. Now, go become one.